إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، كتاب التوحيد من الملخص في شرح كتاب التوحيد لفضيلة الشيخ الوالد الدكتور صالح الفوزان حفظه الله تعالى. وإن chapter number 11 لا يذبح لله بمكان يذبح فيه لغير الله، لا يذبح لله بمكان يذبح فيه لغير الله. Making no animal sacrifice for Allah in a place where sacrifice is made for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We started this chapter a couple of weeks ago. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala brought the ayah in Surah At-Tawbah. قال الله تعالى لا تقم فيه أبدا لمسجد أسس على التقوى من أول يوم أحق أن تقوم فيه فيه رجال يحبون أن يتطهروا والله يحب المطهرين. Never stand you therein. Verily the mosque whose foundation was laid from the first day on piety is more worthy than you stand therein to pray. In it are men who love to clean and purify themselves. And Allah loves those who make themselves clean and pure. And we mentioned the explanation of this ayah in a last class. And it was pertaining to the hypocrites who they established a masjid, not for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but to turn the Muslims away and to cause division and fitna and trial. And they invite the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to pray in it, as Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan hafidhahullah ta'ala says, because they know if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed on it, that's a tazkiyah for them, that's a praise for that masjid, and then other people will go and pray in it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that this masjid was not found upon taqwa of Allah, rather for other cause. So in this ayah, as the Shaykh, he mentioned it as a proof that shows the fiqh of the Shaykh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala. Even the ayah doesn't mention slaughter, and the chapter is about slaughtering in places that are forbidden for the Muslims to slaughter. But he mentioned this ayah, that there are places that is forbidden for the Muslim to be in, to perform actions of worship. So the Shaykh Fawzan, he says, the reason Shaykh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala chose this ayah is because these places that are usually animal or slaughtered for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these places forbidden for the Muslim to slaughter for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the same places. So likewise, the masajid, which is a place, if are built upon disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is permissible. It's not permissible for a person to attend them. And we mention from the statement of Shaykh Fawzan hafidhahullah ta'ala is that not any building is called a masjid. Not any building is a masjid. The masajid are Allah's houses, and it has nothing to do with the name or the place, but it has to do with what's taking place in that place. The masajid are Allah's places, and so therefore they have to be established upon Tawheed, Islamic monotheism, about the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Upon ilm, knowledge, salawat has to be performed in there, the remembrance of Allah. People are taught the knowledge, not just anybody who open a place and call it a masjid, but it turns to a politic, hangout, turns to Hizbiya or Sufis or Bidah, promoting innovations or ignorance. So you got to keep that in mind. The masajid are for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so therefore, Allah should be worshipped in those places, and knowledge should be disseminated in accordance with the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned the hadith عن ثابت بن الضحاك قال نذر رجل أن ينحر إبلا عن ثابت بن الضحاك رضي الله عنه قال نذر رجل أن ينحر إبلا ببوانة فسأل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال هل كان فيها وثن من أوثان الجاهلية يعبد؟ قالوا لا. قال فهل كان فيها عيد من أعيادهم؟ قالوا لا. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أوف بنذرك فإنه لا وفاء لنذر في معصية الله ولا فيما لا يملك ابن آدم. رواه أبو داود وإسناده على شرطهما أي شرط البخاري ومسلم. ثابت بن الضحاك رضي الله عنه said, a man made a vow to sacrifice a camel at a place called Buwana. This is a place close to Medina, right by Yunbur. Yunbur is a city in, it's to the north of, northwest of Medina. It's close to Medina, southwest of Medina, and it's on the Red Sea, right on the shore, close to the Red Sea. And Buwana is a place close to it. So a man made a vow to sacrifice a camel at a place called Buwana. So he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about this sacrifice. Can he go ahead and make that sacrifice? But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before he said to him yes or no, he asked about the place. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked about, make certain questions about this place, not about the camel, but about the place where the camel is to be slaughtered. The Prophet ﷺ said, did the place have any idol which is worship of the idols of Jahiliyyah? This place, is it considered from those places that had an idol that the people of ignorance, Juhal, they used to worship? They answered no. Then the Prophet ﷺ asked again, did the disbelievers hold any of their recurring festivities there? Any festivities in that place? They answered no. Then the Messenger of Allah ﷺ said, fulfill your vow. Verily, there is no fulfillment of a vow made in disobedience to Allah. If a person have a vow for disobedience of Allah, a person should not carry out that vow, nor one that is beyond a person's capacity. It's recorded by Abu Dawood and on the conditions of verification of Al-Bukhari and Muslim. What does it mean, on the conditions? Meaning this hadith agrees with the conditions set by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. وَهُمَّ اتِّصَالُ السَّنَدْ بِالْعُدُولِ الدَّابِطَيْنِ من غير شذوذ ولا علة. Meaning he fulfilled the conditions that Imam al-Bukhari, Imam Muslim, they set for a hadith to be sahih. There is certain conditions in the terminology of hadith. So Shaykh Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, Imam Muslim, they don't just go there randomly choose a hadith. Now this is sahih, this is not sahih. No, there is a science behind that. They consider the hadith to be sahih if a hadith fulfills 5 conditions. The explanation of this hadith, Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan, he says, Thabit ibn al-Dahhak, the narrator of this hadith, he is Thabit ibn al-Dahhak ibn Khalifa, ibn Tha'laba, ibn Adi, al-Ashhali, al-Khazraji, al-Ansari. Sahabiyun mashhur, mata sanat 64 min al-Hijra. So this is a well-known Sahabi, famous Sahabi. He is from the Ansar. He is from the tribe of the Ansar, especially from Al-Khazraj. Remember, there was Aus and Khazraj. He's mainly from the Khazraj, and he's from the Ansar, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. He died in the year 64 of the Hijrah. 64 of the Hijrah. Another vow. What is a nether? Sheikh gave us explanation, a definition of a vow, of another, the vow, V-O-W. Another lughatan, al-ijab. Linguistically, nether is when a person makes something obligatory upon them. وشرعا هو أن يلزم الإنسان نفسه يلزم الإنسان نفسه بشيء من العبادات لم يكن لازما عليه شرعا. But in Islam, the vow, the nether, is when a person make upon themselves something obligatory from actions of worship, whereas it was not obligatory upon him in the legislation. For example, people, they say, they ask Allah, they say, oh Allah, I want this and this, and if this happen, I will fast 3 days. These are not 3 days of Ramadan. I will fast 3 days, oh Allah, every month. Some people, they even make a condition every month. So now, did Allah make it obligatory upon us to fast 3 days every month? I'm asking.
No.
It's recommended. In the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, from the things that he says the Prophet ﷺ advised him with is to fast 3 days of every month, any days, and to pray duha and to pray witr before he goes to sleep. These are from the advices of Abu Huraira, the Prophet ﷺ to Abu Huraira. But now a person will make this obligatory upon himself by taking an vow, an oath, a nether. Likewise, another person say, oh, he's sick, his son is sick, for example. Take him to so many doctors. And he says, oh Allah. And he take a vow that if his son is cured, that person will give $10,000 in charity. So that person is not obliged to give $10,000 in charity. I'm not talking about zakat, I'm talking about like optional charity and the like. طيب المعنى الإجمالي المعنى الإجمالي للحديث, the general explanation or meaning of this hadith, the hadith of ثابت ابن الضحاك رضي الله عنه. قال الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله, يذكر الراوي أن رجلا التزم لربه أن ينحر إبلا في موضع معين على وجه الطاعة والقربة. He says here, the narrator of this hadith, which is Thabit ibn al-Dahhak radiallahu anhu, is informing us that a man who made a vow, and that vow consists of the fact that this person will slaughter camels in a place, in a specific place, not any, not just slaughtering camels. He was slaughtering camels in a specific place, out of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This person is doing it for obedience to Allah. Okay? وَجَاءَ يَسْأَلُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمَ عَنِ التَّنْفِيذِ. And this person, he came to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about this. So it's very important for us to ask. We can't ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We can't. Are we going to go to the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and ask him like the Sufis do and Mubtadi'ah and the Khurafiyun? No. So who do we ask? We ask Warathatul Rabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The inheritors of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Men whom? Who are they? Al-ulama. Scholars. By the text of the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Wal-ulama'u warathatul anbiya." These scholars are the inheritors of the prophets. Wal-anbiya'u lam yuwarithu dinaran wala dirhama wa innama warathu al-ilm. And the prophets, they don't leave behind them wealth, money to be inherited, but rather that which they leave behind is knowledge. Likewise, in the incident that took place in the life of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, once he saw the people very busy in the markets and they're not spending much time in the house of Allah reading Quran, remembering Allah. So he stood up in a marketplace and said to the people, "Subhanallah, the inheritance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been divided in his masjid and you're here busy with this." Those people who don't know, they heard the inheritance, they're like, "What? Divided without us?" So they run to the masjid. But then shortly they came back and said to Abu Huraira, "SubhanAllah, ain't no inheritance. What are you talking about?" Then he asked him a question. He said, "Didn't you see people over there reading the Quran?" He says, "Yes. That's all we see." "Didn't you see other people sitting remembering Allah?" He says, "Yes, that's all we see. Ain't no inheritance." That's the inheritance. That was the inheritance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it's very important for us to ask before we do things. Things we don't know, things we have doubt. We don't just like, I'm going to do it and whatever happened, happened. What do you mean whatever happened, happened? We shouldn't have this attitude. Before we say anything, before we do anything, before we go to any places, before we start anything, make any decisions, if we are not sure, because certain things we may know already. But if we don't know, We ask the people who know. We don't just turn to each others and ask each others. We ask the scholars, the ulama. Same way when you're sick, man, sometimes you know what to do. You go ahead and take a medicine, drink some water, get some olive oil here, some lemons, whatever you know, some black seed. But some sickness, you don't just... You go to ask who? Mechanic? Carpenter? Plumber? No, you go to the doctors. When your car breaks down, you don't go to the doctor. So you call the doctors and say, "I want to make an appointment. What happened? My truck broke down." And they like, "Listen, man, you're calling the wrong people. Call a mechanic." So when it comes to that, we all know that. لكن عندنا فوضى في الدين. So we have to apply that in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this man came to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فاستفسر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن ذلك المكان. Before giving him an answer, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he wants to know about this place that is called Buwana. This place, because this person, he didn't just say, "I'm slaughtering some camels." No, he mentioned a specific place. This person, he's going to go to that place. That's when he makes the vow. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم wants to know about that place. قال هل سبق أن وجد فيها شيء من معبودات المشركين. The first question was, did this place that this man wants to slaughter camels in it, Is it known that some idols used to be worshipped in there, from the idols of the mushrikeen and the polytheists? أو سبق أن المشركين يعظمونه ويجتمعون فيه. Also, this place, was it known that the mushrikeen used to gather in it to celebrate and to conduct festivities in a way to venerate that place? شفت. فلما علم صلى الله عليه وسلم بخلو هذا المكان من تلك المحاذير أفتى بتنفيذ النذر. The answer was no, both. So Sheikh Salah al-Fawzan says, when the Prophet knew that this place free from these things, Prophet gave him the fatwa, the okay to go ahead and carry out his vow by slaughtering those camels in that place. ثم بين صلى الله عليه وسلم النذر الذي لا يجوز الوفاء به. And then the Prophet ﷺ made clear to that person and also to all of us the type of vow that is not permissible to fulfill. And so therefore, the vow is obligatory to fulfill the vow. But then there is type of vow that there is a circumstances that is not permissible to fulfill the vow. Such وهو ما كان المنذور فيه معصية لله أو لا يدخل تحت ملك الناذر. Sheikh he mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ says that if a person make a vow, but that vow involves disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, that's not so. A person is not permissible for them to carry that. If, for example, this person here, if that place was a place that is not permissible for him to slaughter in it, the Prophet would tell him, no, you don't fulfill that vow. Okay, or somebody, for example, says if he get the job, he gonna throw a party and bring wine and is that a vow now? No, it's because disobedience to Allah. Is disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? Or somebody said if he passed this test, he's going to beat up 3 people. Can't beat up people. That's haram. Alright? Oh, also in another case, a person, it's not permissible for a person to carry out a vow if that which he gonna use doesn't belong to him. Doesn't belong to him. For example, somebody says, inshallah, if he get this job, he's gonna donate this brother's car. He donate his brother's car. This doesn't belong to him. Doesn't belong to him. Okay, it doesn't belong to him, so you can't make a decision. Because something doesn't own. Person has to own it. طيب. مناسبة الحديث للباب. Sheikh Salah al-Fawzan will tell us the reason why Sheikh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab رحمه الله تعالى selected this hadith as a proof in this chapter. قال لأن فيه المنع من الذبح لله في المكان الذي كان فيه وثن من أوثان الجاهلية أو فيه عيد من أعيادهم ولو بعد زواله. Who remind us of the title of the chapter? What this chapter is about? Muhammad, speak up, please. نعم عبد الرحيم. You're completing what he says, or you're just saying? نعم إخوان. What is the chapter? نعم عبد نور الدين. أحسنت. Not to slaughter for Allah. in a place where they slaughter for other than Allah. Okay? So remember. No, he says the reason Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned this hadith as a proof in this chapter, because in it is a prohibition. It is prohibited to slaughter for Allah in a place they used to have, not still having, used to have an idol from the idols of Jahiliyyah that's been worshipped, or a Eid. What is the Eid festival? Because why the Eid is called the Eid? Because it's repeated. Ya'udu. The Eid is called the Eid because it's repeated. In the same time, same place, same time, same time, same. Likewise, those festivals of Jahiliyyah, they have some festivals where they do their kufr and shirk, and it's known, same place, same time. So he says it's not permissible to slaughter for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in places like this. Even if the Shaykh, even if this practice, that Eid, that festival is not taking place anymore, or even if there is no wathan, no idols that is being worshipped anymore. ما يستفاد من الحديث. I think for this reason, Ikhwan, you be careful what you slaughter. Sometimes, brother, when you slaughter Eid, and they just be looking, what matters to them is what? The price. How much? Well, I think it's 150 head. Oh, here's another place, only 75. But you gotta ask legitimate questions. ما يستفاد من الحديث. What is some of the benefits? Some of the benefits from this hadith. Number one, المنع من الوفاء بالنذر إذا كان في المكان الذي عين له وثن ولو بعد زواله. It is prohibited to fulfill a vow in a place that used to have an idol worship, even after the idol is gone, is removed. It's not there, but it's removed. So it's not permissible to carry a vow in any place like that. Number two, المنع من الوفاء بالنذر بمكان عيد الجاهلية ولو بعد زواله. Likewise, it's prohibited to carry out a vow in a place when the ignorant people and the kuffar, and they used to have festivals in it, hold festivals, even if they no longer festivals. But once, if it's known that they used to have festivals of shirk and kufr, and disbelief, then it's not permissible for a person to use that place to carry out that vow. Number three, istifsar al-mufti min al-mustafti qabl al-fatwa. Likewise, it's very important that the person who's asked for a verdict, Islamic verdict, should ask questions from the person. So from the person before he give him the Islamic verdict. And sometimes people, they want to come and just ask general questions and apply them on occurring situations. And it happened to me personally. Sometimes a person come and ask me, says, "Akhi, what if a brother took the brother's property and damaged it, and the other brother is looking for him, and guess what, guess this?" I'm like, "Are you one of those brothers?" "Oh, no. I said, "Akhi, have those brothers call me. How are you going to know? What you know about? Have them call me so we can hear from them." You know how sometimes people, they hear information, they don't pay attention to it because it doesn't concern them. And now they want to like just give you whatever they heard or whatever they thought is okay. They may forget a detail. To them it doesn't matter, but for the person that happened to him, every detail matters. So this is very important. In any matter, partners, damage, divorce, marriage, whatever. You gotta talk to the people. Number four, سد الذريعة المفضية إلى الشرك. Likewise, this is one of the narrations that he closed the door for any way that led to shirk. Any way that led to shirk, anything that led to shirk, Islam prohibited. Naam, that's man. Number two, three, استفسار المفتي من المستفتي قبل الفتوى. That the Mufti is the one who gives Islamic verdict. This is not for anybody. That's for special people. They, from the ulama, they reach a level of knowledge and many other things. Alhamdulillah, they have qualities and characteristics. Not anybody is a Mufti. So, but the Mufti, from this hadith, the Shaykh says, we learn that the Mufti should ask certain questions from the person who's asking him before he give him the Islamic verdict. When this benefit is taken from the hadith, where? I know, because the Prophet ﷺ, and he is the Prophet ﷺ, who received wahi, and he asked this man questions about the place before he gave him the answer. Number five, ترك مشابهة المشركين في عبادتهم وأعيادهم وإن كان لا يقصد ذلك. That we are commanded not to imitate the mushrikeen, the polytheists, in their worship and in their festivals. Even we don't intend that. It's not like we participate in those things. But anything they do, or places they hang in, that they commit shirk in it. That's why you can't be in churches. Some people say, can I go to church for a class, for this, for orientation? You don't. This is a place for them. Okay? Or a place they hang out. Something that they always go to celebrate something. Celebrate Christmas, for example. Celebrate Thanksgiving. Celebrate. You can't be in those places. You can't be in these places. Even look, even though your intention is not to celebrate, intention is something else. So
can you buy that building and turn it into a masjid?
This is a good question. It's a good question. Alhamdulillah, the ulama, they said it's okay. No, said it's okay. Number eight. Or number seven, أَنَّ نَدْرَ الْمَعْصِيَةَ لَا يَجُوزُ الْوَفَاءُ بِهِ. That if a person take a vow, an oath, but includes and involves disobedience to Allah, then that person should not carry out that vow. Alright? So people don't know. Says if he, as we gave an example, he said, if this happened, he will never talk to his mother again. So, that's disobedience to Allah. Or if he get this job, he will never come in the masjid again. He's talking about the masjid. Can't do things like this. And if a person does this, they shouldn't carry out that vow. Number eight, أن النذر الذي لا يملكه الناذر كان قال لله علي أن أعتق عبد فلان لا وفاء له. Likewise, if a person take an oath or a vow, that vow is pertaining to something he doesn't possess and doesn't own. For example, he says, the Shaykh take a vow to free the slave of so-and-so. It's not his slave. He's like, listen man, if this happened, mashallah, I'm taking this vow to free this slave of so-and-so. It doesn't belong to him. So لا وفاء له. This person doesn't fulfill this vow. Number nine, وجوب الوفاء بالنذر الخالي من المعصية الداخل تحت ملك النذر. And likewise, we have a benefit that is obligatory to fulfill the vow that is free from two things, from disobedience to Allah, and it has to be under the ownership of the person. He owns it. Okay, number 10, أن النذر عبادة لا يجوز صرفه لغير الله. Vow is an act of worship too. عبادة, like slaughtering, salat, dua, tawakkul, khashya, rahba, inaba, istighatha, isti'adha. All these are actions of worship. Likewise, never is one action of worship, so therefore you should not be devoted for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam, ya. Say that again. Repeat.
If a person made a vow which contains disobedience, so he cannot carry it out, but he has to offer expiation for breaking the vow. Mm-hmm. I mean, he has to, like, kafara.
Kafara?
I mean, like, breaking the vow.
I know what you're talking about. I have to review that one, inshallah ta'ala. Does he have to make something else if you break the vow?
Yeah, because he made a vow and he cannot do it.
Inshallah. So inshallah ta'ala we come to conclusion of this chapter here. لا يذبح لله بمكان لا يذبح لله بمكان يذبح فيه لغير الله. Make no animal sacrifice for Allah in a place where sacrifice is made for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the next chapter is min ash-shirki an-nadhru li ghayrillah. To vow to other than Allah is an act of shirk. Is an act of shirk. We'll do that next time inshaAllah ta'ala. As next Saturday may be Ramadan, the first of Ramadan. Are we going to continue these classes or not? We'll let you know, inshaAllah ta'ala. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.